Part 11, Chapter 7. They labored in the mine 24 hours a day with three shifts. Inward, further and further, they drove along the barren, white quartz vein. And then, on day 60, the vein faulted. Some ancient cataclysm had shifted it up or down, to the right or left. Suddenly, there was just country rock before them. No more vein. The possibility that they would lose it had not been missing from their calculations. For weeks now, they had been sending out scouts to locate any stored gold within their range of recovery. They had been given hope by Johnny's earliest discovery of a gold coin in a bank vault in Denver. But most of the coins left were just curiosities, worthless souvenirs. They were silver-plated copper. Only five more gold coins were in that vault, and these few ounces were a long way from making up a ton of gold. A few bits from what must have been jewelry shops added another pitiful 2 ounces. Mining company officials at old mines through the mountains had no gold in their vaults, though they found plenty of receipts. The receipts all said, shipped, so many, ounces to the U.S. Mint, Denver, or shipped such and such poundage of concentrate to the smelter. In a perilous journey in a plane, carrying heavy supplies of fuel in reserve, Dunaldine, a co-pilot and a gunner, flying by night to escape drone detection, went all the way to the eastern coast, to a place once called New York. They found the buildings mostly knocked down, but some gold vaults tunneled into and empty. They also visited a place the historian had found called Fort Knox, but it was just a gutted ruin. Dunaldine had accumulated a remarkable fund of information and picked a recorder's shots. Bridges gone, tumbled rubble, wild game, wild cattle and varmints abundant. No trace of people. And they had had some hair-raising experiences. But they got no gold. They had come to the conclusion that the cyclos, as much as 1,000 years ago, both the company itself and individual employees had thoroughly gutted this planet of gold. They must have even taken it from corpses in the streets, rings from fingers and fillings from teeth. Possibly this, along with the cyclos' sport of hunting humans on days off, accounted for the thoroughness of population wipeout. There was evidence that in the early days of conquest, they had even massacred people just for their rings and fillings. They began to understand Turl a little better in his dangerous enterprise to possess the yellow metal for himself. To the humans, the metal meant very little. They had no experience of using it in trade. It was pretty and didn't tarnish and was easily pounded into shape, but stainless steel had a lot more utility. Their own ideas of trade and thrift had to do with useful items that were real wealth.